This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin coming to you for the second to last time of this golf season. We're down to the final 50 players as we go from 70 to 50. We will, of course, go from 50 to 30 next week. And then we'll wrap it up, guys. Then we'll call it a season there, Kelly.
Dunzo. I'm ready for it to be over. Congratulations, Matt, and everybody else ahead of Deki Matsuyama ticket out there. Way to go, buddy.
Yeah, sure. That was no sweat on that at all. That was no sweat at all with
easy winner.
All of that. Yeah. Rocking chair winner, as they say. You know, I'm sitting there, Wes. We talked about this often here on the podcast, and I know this is for rest of country. You guys are like, hey, will you shut the hell up about this? But we do get the luxury here in Vegas of Circa posting no prices, right? Which I know rest of country you guys don't get, and so it's y'all hate hearing us talk about it, but I'm sitting there with Hideki going in Sunday with a 5-stroke lead, and the no price is like nice and juicy sitting there like plus 360. And I call Kelly and I'm like, man, I'm thinking about like playing the no. And he's like, we're kind of like going back and forth. Like, what do we do? What do I do? And I was like, what I'm going to do? I'm just going to make sure that I don't lose money on this tournament. So I played enough no to where at least if he collapsed, I broke even on the week, you know? And then I'm sitting there, and the son of a bitch almost lost the damn tournament. And I'm sitting here, oh my God, I'm literally going to break even on this tournament. And like, I cannot believe this is I'm watching this unfold, you know, right before my very eyes or whatever. But man, that back nine just absolutely crapped the bed and then makes that clutch putt on 17. But holy mackerel, what a roller coaster ride it was, and still had to dodge a Victor Hovland putt there at the end.
Yeah, and we've seen these collapses, I think, really all season, several of them. I had one go against me a couple weeks ago at the Olympic Games in Paris with John Rahm. You know, Reynolds' rule, first to 20 under par wins. The rule got violated there in the Olympic Games, courtesy of Scottie Scheffler. So, yeah, we've seen these collapses, and you think that you're safe. And if you're monitoring this live wagering during the rounds, you know, you're seeing, okay, minus 2,000, minus 2,500. It's like, can't lose, right? Can't lose. And then all of a sudden, you know, especially if your live screen is ahead of your television, if you're on a delay, then all of a sudden you see that price crash down to like minus 800. It's like, okay, what the hell happened?
Yeah, what's about to happen?
Yeah, something's about to happen that I didn't see. And there you go. So I was glad you were able to dodge that. And look, Matsuyama, terrific putting week, and a lot of adversity too for this guy, considering he didn't have his caddy or his coach with him, because they had gotten they were victims of a robbery in London, where Matsuyama got his wallet stolen, the passports were stolen from his caddy and his coach. They actually had to return to Japan, and I don't even believe they're going to be able to get back stateside until East Lake next week in Atlanta for the Tour Championship. So
how's that possible? We can't like expedite a passport or something. I was kind of confused
because
I didn't really think that was fully the reason.
I was like, really, you know? But yeah, a lot of adversity though for Matsuyama, and had a Japanese caddy with him that, you know, they were able to get home. That was his first win as a tour caddy. I forget the guy's name, but, you know, was able to get through the adversity. And I thought he was much the best really on the week. And it would have been sad if he wouldn't be able to get that home, because he was the best in the field last weekend.
That caddy better have gotten a big tip, because I know you were on the air, Matt, but I'm sitting here watching Golf Channel getting ready for Live Bet Sunday. And Wes, I don't know if you caught this, but old Deki busting out a different putter than he had used in the three rounds.
Right. When you texted me that, Kelly, I'm losing my mind. Like, I'm sitting there like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you actually are putting good for once in your life. Like, what are you doing? How are you even considering
that? Even the Golf Channel guys were freaking out about it. They're like, someone take the putter away. We're like, what is he doing? Like, he can't possibly be thinking about this. And I don't remember who had the report, but he was like, yeah, just talk to the caddy. He said, yeah, no, they're going to stick with the same putter. It's like, no shit. Like, no shit. Yeah.
Seriously. He's like, really? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad that was
the best three rounds he's putted all year, and he was going to switch putters. Like, what was even the
in
thing?
In what has been a a pretty rough golf season for me. Yeah, it was, that was good to get home. The Scotty Xander top 10 parlay got home. Finau top 20 got home. Aaron Rye top 20 got home. Matsuyama over Cantlay got home. Henley over Cam Young got home. So finally a week where we just, where we finally crushed it. So hopefully
where you people, crushed it. Speak people for yourself. Made some money. Won like one bet. It was a bath for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully people made some money out there with all of that, but off we go. Here to the BMW. We are heading to Colorado for this one. So yes, as you would imagine, we will be playing this at altitude. And you know, it's one of those things though, Wes, if you look at it, despite the fact that the number on Castle Pines is extremely long, and if you look at it, you're gonna say like, there's no way they're playing a course that's 8,130 yards. Well, they are, but when everything is all factored in and what these guys are going to get out of the modern equipment and the modern balls and all stuff like that, it really plays at like 73 and a half, maybe 74 or something, you know, somewhere in there. So on paper, it looks really, really long, but the way it's going to play, it's like every other course.
Yeah, 6,300 feet of elevation to be exact. So it is going to play shorter. This is, of course, the highest elevation on tour here at Castle Pines, just outside of Denver, Colorado, about 30 miles south. This course, by the way, has been played on the PGA Tour before, but not since 2006, where they had the international event, which was the modified Stableford scoring. It is a Jack Nicklaus design, opened in 81. They held this event here from 86 to 2006. Since then, now Jack and the Total Turf Company, they did renovate it. New bunkers, rebuilt the tees, rebuilt the greens, redesigned some of the water. There's 10 water danger holes here, almost an entirely new third hole as well. So did the bunkers, the fairway width, you know, 35 yards on average. So it's very typical Nicklaus design in terms of the fact that the fairways, I think, are fairly permissible. And then they kind of tighten up as you get to the greens. He wants to make this a difficult second shot golf course. There is rough, by the way, if you don't find these kind of wider fairways around 4 inches, that can be tricky. Greens are back to front, about 70-30 bent poa mix. They are going to be fast, though, this week, 13 on the stimp. So in terms of a winning score, I have no idea what it is going to be. I would assume that there are some birdie opportunities out here, though.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the bunkers apparently, again, we, you know, hadn't seen this course in forever, but I mean, just reading from the people that have been out there and whatnot, I actually have a couple of buddies who live there who've played this course and are just, you know, it's like a lot of fairway bunkers. So, you know, there is going to be a decent amount of strategery off of the tee. And then just the kind of like, there's a lot of elevation changes off the tee as well, whether you're either hitting uphill or hitting downhill, which also makes you kind of have to decide where you want to go, what you want to do with it. And then Kelly, looks like we're going to get some pretty long rough and a mix of different grasses in the rough as well. So like, you don't really know exactly what type of lie you're going to get and what you're going to get coming out of this. And so, look, spoiler alert for everybody out there. Like I dialed back my card a little bit this week. It's cool, one of those things. Yeah. It's one of those things for me, like, you know, a course that I'm not familiar with at all. There's a lot of kind of,
nuanced, smaller field,
it's a nuanced thing to the course where it's like, you know, I don't know how people are going to take to hitting, you know, these dramatic tee shots uphill, downhill, you know, trying to dodge fairway bunkers. Are they going to go less than dry? Like, well, I don't know. I just don't know on any of this stuff, you know? And so with all that, I did dial back the card a little bit this week. I'm sure as you read in, it seems like as you read into the way the course is going to lay out, you maybe chose to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, not only the tournament and time of year that we're at, but also, yeah, anytime you kind of get, yes, like you said, it's not a new course, but it's basically a new course. I mean, this is, you know, a course we have not seen in a long time, and you have no idea. I mean, I think it's funny.
Nobody in the field has played a competitive round here. It's Clark has played it a lot, but like, it's like people that live in Colorado, people going through it, are like, yeah, no, nobody's played a competitive round here. So we don't have any data really to pull from.
Yeah, I think I saw a quote. Wyndham said he's played it probably 30 times or something. So definitely he's got the experience boost there. But I think for that, from a betting standpoint, even we just did it, but I'm like, I've read, you know, everybody trying to make the the altitude equation of what this probably plays like. It's like, we're all just guessing. Like, we're all just guessing. You know what I mean? So it's like, even that, I think that the, like, okay, we talked about the rough. We know it's going to be 4 or 5 inches of rough. Okay, so there's going to be a little bit of a premium on accuracy. I still dialed up distance, though, a little bit more. Yardage says it's a long course. Yes, we're playing at elevation. We know the ball will travel further, but we don't know exactly how much further. Yeah. And I do think it's a massive week. I don't think it's easy for the players either. I mean, I would think over these next few days, there's a lot of time out there, or at least next couple of days, I guess, a lot of time out there with players and caddies trying to figure out exactly what these distances are really like for each one of them. And we're not a part of those conversations. So we don't really know. So
I know Golf Channel. I mean, that's another thing about this. Like, we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let everybody know, like, anything that gets added to my card or whatever, like, it'll be on VSiN.com/picks or whatever. But like, I'm going to be glued to Golf Channel tomorrow because it's going to be any little information that I can get that leaks out, anything that, any nuggets that people pick up throughout the course of the day and stuff like that. Because, you know, as you mentioned, Kelly, I mean, these last 2 days have had to be nothing more than trying to figure out, okay, what wedges do I even want to play? Right. I mean, like, because that's the other thing I think people don't realize if you don't.
Far does my 8 iron?
Like, we as like schlub golfers, right? It's like, we just have a set of, like, we just have wedges and like, we just go play wedges. Like, even like, these dudes literally go out there and like, they don't know what loft wedges are going to play. They don't know how many wedges are going to bring. They don't know what grinds they want. Like, they're literally testing the stuff
out.
This
is a really tough caddy week, by the way. The caddies are going to earn their money, I think, really this week more than any other week, because you got to gauge those yardages because of the altitude and seeing what you're doing. And, you know, when we get to the modeling, that's why I didn't do a lot of proximity stuff necessarily this week personally, because I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, some guys probably won't hit drivers frequently off the tee, and some guys will hit it every time. So, you know, that's why I think it is a little bit confusing here. And it was a little bit kind of going on hunches and a little bit more of a guessing game necessarily than really true raw data.
I'm with you that 100% was. That's the reason I did absolutely no proximity anything or whatever, because at the end of the day, you know, these guys, you know, some of them might bring 52 degrees. Some guys might bring 56 degrees. Some guys might like have just a ton of wedges and forego some of the other, like, I don't know what they're going to do in all this. And so, yeah, I didn't do any of the buckets like really there either with all this. Kelly, as you were doing just kind of the lead in research, anything else kind of jump out to you about the course and give you any thoughts one way or the other?
No, I think you guys hit pretty much everything. You know, look, Waters, they're going to punish you for missing greens and fairways. And I think that's what we should expect at this time of year. You're going to, you know, off the fairway. I mean, there's going to be the long rough to contend with. And then around the greens, it does sound like it's, you know, going to be pretty tricky. There's a lot of water right around the greens. There's a lot of different, I mean, they've got Broncas and traps and every little thing that you could possibly have out there. I can't wait to see the thing. I think it's was a good reminder just breaking down the course of like, man, we play way too many freaking golf tournaments in like California, Texas, and Florida. Like, it actually would be nice to spread it out to some of these other areas. And the course looks gorgeous. Like, I can't wait to watch it on TV.
Yeah. Same here. I am like, I'm into this tournament a lot.
It legit makes me think about it. Like, I feel like I raged about that like a month ago or something. I'm like, why are we forcing so much summer golf in Texas? Like, it's like May and June and we're going down to Texas for golf. Like, what? Like, there's so many gorgeous golf courses around the country. Like, who cares? Move it around.
I'm big time into this tournament. Like, I cannot wait to check it out again. Like, I mean, even though I did kind of dial it back a little bit with all of that, I'm still super, super into this tournament with everything. So, all right. So guys, again, if you haven't been watching the channel, if you were just a podcast listener, which thanks for that, I guess, if you're just a podcast listener, you don't actually watch.
Wait. I got to give a couple, a couple shout outs, Matt, because I've had probably 5 to 6 fans of the pod stop by the D and say hi to me over the past month or so. So I know a lot of people are out in the summertime doing some traveling around the country, coming to Vegas. Yeah, I'm sure you got it at nighttime, Wes. It's
been awesome with how many people have come up and said some nice things about the pod and how much they appreciate us doing it. And thank you, because everybody, yes, that takes the time to actually listen to this, we appreciate that.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, yeah. We might as well do that now, because we'll do it again next week as well, as we kind of close out the season. But, you know, listen, this is really the time of year. If you want to get involved over at VSiN, we talk about it. You know, we bet a ton of golf. We love golf, but we're heading into football season. We're heading into the NFL. We got an NFL guide over there. We got a college football guide over there. We're updating the NFL guide with new picks and new bets that were added since this thing came out, because we put it out really early in June. This is the time to really go and get the value out of this, for sure. So be sure, head in over to VSiN.com/subscribe and get all that stuff. The college football betting guide alone, which I know, Wes, you put in a lot of hard work on, is worth the price alone. And so everything else, you know, you should just look at it as basically free. That's the way I look at it, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just free.
Yeah. Who's going to win the national championship, Wes? Can you let everybody know? I would like to know that. All I know is I got Florida State in a money line parlay this weekend. So let's go Noles. I know it's a big shocker. It's a heavy breakdown.
Georgia's going to be the favorite, but I think the two teams in the Big Ten got a really good chance, and that's Ohio State and Oregon. I think Oregon is going to take to the Big Ten just fine here in its first year.
All right. There you go.
Look at that. Bonus info here on the pod. That's why you're a subscriber. Damn. By the way, if you hadn't hit that damn button yet, go ahead, hit the subscribe button. And if you want to rate and review, we also appreciate that. All right, let's get to the modeling here. Wes, you mentioned the model and what we found important this week. Interested to see what you guys ended up putting in and how heavily you weighted all of that. Because I think I went wonky this week, and I did that on purpose, because I don't know if we're going to, I think a lot of people are going to end up drawing a lot of the same conclusions out there, and maybe I can try to zig where other people are zagging. But Wes, what did you do, and what did things kind of look like on your end?
Well, I think when you don't have a lot of data and you want to go on anything, approach usually isn't a bad way to go, and especially on a Nicklaus design, which is always a second shot golf course, and approach play is always vital, and he makes it vital because the fairways, I think, are relatively permissible on most of his layouts that you see on the PGA Tour and other tours for that matter. And then the second shot, he wants to make his second shot a little bit tougher. So I went with approach. In terms of driving, I went with total driving. I wanted to go with the base and not necessarily bombing, because people see the 81-30 on the scorecard and like, oh my God, like only like three guys can compete here. But that's not necessarily the truth. Total driving, of course, combines distance with accuracy. So wanted to see that, because you are going to have to avoid that rough a little bit. You can also use a little bit of good drive percentage too, because I don't think, you know, with the length of this course playing around like truly 7,400 yards, anybody's really like taken out here. Everybody can compete here off the tee. So I think that's what you're going to see happen. A couple of the scoring stats, birdie or better, bogey avoidance. Bogeys, because you do have 10 water danger holes here and you have a lot of bunkers and you got those runoff areas around the green. So, you know, you will maybe make some bogeys here and try to avoid those undercards. So that leads me into strokes gained around the green, kind of a combo with strokes gained around the green and scrambling, because you're not going to hit necessarily all of these greens because you're probably going to put it in the rough or our approach isn't going to stick. It's going to be a little bit errant and roll off the green. So I use that. Strokes gained, I did a couple of different putting ones. I did one on fast greens because these are going to be 13 on the stimp. So these are going to be on the quicker side. And then bent grass. It is mostly bent. It's 70-30, as I mentioned, bent POA. But, you know, side on bent for that. And then I think you can look at par fives. You got to take advantage of these par fives. You see three of them are well over 600 yards. And then there's a really short one. But with the altitude, these should all, I think, be reachable. And two, by the way, number one is a 662 par five. It's rare you see a par five start out the round, but that's what you get here at Castle Pines this week.
Kelly, what did you throw in the model this week?
Yeah, not a huge difference from what Wes just went over. Basically everything Wes hit on. Sounds like I weighted driving distance a little bit more than Wes, but yeah, went heavy on approach. Pretty basic model this week. Heavy on approach, par five scoring, bogey avoidance, birdie or better around the green. All those all the stuff Wes hit on. It does sound like I went a little heavier on driving distance, but other than that, like a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, so for me, like I said, I kind of went a little different this week. So I did the same thing I did last week, and it it led to some success. So I just ran it back, which I put in a baseline number, except this time I put the baseline number in at 24 rounds. And then I went in and started waiting long-term stuff for stuff that I think is like, doesn't really go away. And then I weighted like short-term stuff and heavily more weighted that stuff where things I think you can kind of get hot doing. Right. And so for me, guys, if we look, you know, over the course, sure, it comes and goes a little bit, right? But like, as far as approach stuff goes, guys that are pretty good with the irons are usually kind of just pretty good with the irons, you know, with all of that. And so I, while the baseline was 24, I put in some 36, I put in some 50 just to kind of see like all of that, whatever. We've seen guys get super hot and cold with not only kind of around the green type stuff, but also with the driver. And so for me, with the off the tee type of stuff, the total driving, the whatever, while I put in the baseline for that, I did put in like, you know, shorter distance type stuff for off the tee and those, you know, and so just trying to kind of put in where I think stuff people can get hot coming in with certain things and guys that are just good at other things, you know, long term and blend that model all together and put that in there. So that's kind of how I landed on stuff this week for me. Weighted the par five scoring a little bit higher, I think, maybe than the market did out there. And then again, like, you know, strokes gain total for recent form, like just let me know who's rocking and rolling out there, right? And so did that on like short term type stuff as well. So got an interesting result this week from a modeling standpoint, which I actually like because I knew I was going to trim the card down anyway, and so it made it much easier to trim the card down with the way that things spit out. I mean, hey, look, we're not going to keep anybody guessing here. Yes, it was Scotty and Xander. No, I mean, you can basically put in any combination of anything into a model, and it's going to be Scotty and Xander are going to come out one and two on that. And maybe you flip-flop them a little bit here and there, not much. But, yeah, I mean, like, you're Scotty and Xander come out one and two on that, and you're probably going to find, you know, Morikawa fairly highly, you know, somewhere in there as well. So those guys are the guys that were at the top. I did not play any of them in the outright market, but I'm going back to the well. Scotty and Xander, yet again, you can parlay them top 10 in a field of 50, and you only are paying minus 125. And then if you want to get a little more froggy, which I also did, is top five. And this is ties paid in full, guys. So you're going to make sure that you want to get in that. But you can get plus 229 on that. And again, it's a field of 50 guys. They're by far the two best golfers in the world. And if anybody can adjust to the conditions, I think these two guys can. And so kind of went that route with all of that. Wes, let's take a look at your overall card here and start to get some people some stuff they can put in their account.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of a trend here. Keep in mind, you know, make your trend the acquaintance and not necessarily your friend. But of the last 12 years, nine of the last BMW championship winners, granted, played at a different course every single year, were T13 or better the week before. So that is something to be considered of. Guys usually kind of keep good form in these playoffs. So keep in mind, you know, when you're putting that card, I certainly did not go anybody too far necessarily. Yeah,
I don't know what to make of that though. That's where I kind of hinted at when we were talking about like the course and it being a new course, Wes, where I'm like, somehow the playoffs have become like a thing for these guys because you have stuff like that. There are certain guys that play it better than others, even though we're changing courses for the BMW. It's totally a thing. I don't know if I can get there with that being a big reason to back guys yet, even though it is a trend that we've seen play out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I will probably lean on that more in the placement markets when I get those up on Wednesday morning. But in terms of outrights, you know, not getting overly crazy here, going with guys that I thought played well last week and certainly I think should fit here. Patrick Cantlay, a little bit over 20-1 is where I got him. He was T12 last week in Memphis. But if you just look at, you know, the last 36 and the last 54 holes, because he started out very shaky and pretty much put himself out of it after the first round, he was T3. Behind first and second, the guys that ended up finishing first and second here in 36 hole and 54 hole scoring last weekend. Proven winner on Nicklaus Designs, has won the Memorial twice at Muirfield Village, won the Zozo at Sherwood Country Club over in Southern California. So really does well on Nicklaus designs, also proven at altitude, has been a regular contender here at TPC Summerlin in Las Vegas, including a win, three runners up, runner up at Scottsdale, his first pro event all the way back a little over 10 years ago, Bogota, Colombia at high elevation on the web.com tour. So I think Cantlay can fit here. I still think Cantlay's playing pretty solid, you know, still trying to salvage a season, obviously, with no wins in 2024. A guy that does have a win in 2024 and has kind of had a really up and down season is Wyndham Clark at 33-1, who Matt mentioned earlier. Denver born, Denver native here. Down points is that he missed three or four cuts at the majors. High point, won the rain shortened event for us at Pebble Beach, 80-1 in the process. Runner up at the Players, runner up at the Arnold Palmer, third at the Heritage. T7 last week in Memphis. I thought he started shaky in the Olympics, but played very competitive over the last three rounds. So course knowledge, and then plus I think a guy that might be peaking at the end of the year, I think makes Wyndham Clark a solid play here. Same price at 33-1, Tony Finau. And if anybody knows altitude, it's Finau, because born in Utah, now lives just outside of Phoenix. So he plays in these conditions all the time, doesn't get an opportunity to do it on the tour, but he hasn't won in a year and a half. So this is an important week, though, not just to get a win to break that streak, but the fact that he's one spot out of the automatic qualification for the President's Cup, which I believe is decided after this week. They have the top six, and then the captain, of course, makes the final six picks for the USA versus international later this fall. He needs to be solo third or better to get that automatic spot and get to the six, because he's currently in seventh right now. Putting has been better over the last really several weeks, so you know, he's one of those guys that always has one area where he's great and then one area where he's poor, and that keeps him from winning more often. But I gave Finau another shot at 33-1, and then Billy Horschel 40-1, three top tens in a row, T10 last week at Memphis, former winner at the Memorial at Muirfield Village. So Nicklaus design angle, if you want to look at that, with Muirfield, Augusta, I think certainly applies, guys that had Augusta success, because we know Muirfield is Jack's ode to Augusta. And then last time this event was actually played in Denver, it wasn't at this course at Castle Pines, it was at Cherry Hills, which has hosted a few U.S. Opens over the years, and Horschel actually won this event in 2014. So just four for me with only 50 players. I'll probably have maybe a handful of placement markets tomorrow.
Kelly, here we go again. I'll wait and say it at the end. I'm attacking one of Wes's outrights. Like I attacked Cantlay last week. I'm attacking another one of his outrights this week. So we'll see. Wait, everyone who like angry tweets us and angry texts us that we always have the same place. We've not had the same place last several.
Well, weeks. I share one with Wes, so we'll see if it's this one. But yeah, I'm a little. When I saw this odds board, I feel like I'm playing numbers more, betting numbers more this week than I usually do with golf. Like this is, we are very much data driven. We go off our models, that kind of stuff. I ran everything like you said, Matt. Scheffler, Shoffley, right at the top. I felt like when these odds got released, it felt a lot like the Olympics all over again. Where you're like, okay, I know this is a small field. Why am I getting Scheffler, you know, over 3-1, near 4-1 price? Why am I getting Shoffley 7-1-ish with how good and consistent both those players have been? So I right away, I kind of knew I was going to play Scheffler or Shoffley, and I landed on Shoffley. I think the form he has just played in all season long and kept it up here. I mean, was T2 last week, was right in that mix down the stretch, obviously. Win at the Open, it goes back T5, T3, all the way back to the U.S. Open. Hasn't played as much as some of these guys. That's the other thing to keep in mind. If you're running numbers like Matt talked about too, make sure you're just time frames. I mean, like how much more golf a Patrick Cantlay even has played than Xander Schauffele here over the past couple months is huge. So if you're looking at numbers, just keep that stuff in mind. But yeah, as soon as I saw that stuff come out, I knew I was going to be betting this light anyways. So when you're thinking about a 50-person field, I know I'm not going to be making a ton of bets, much more comfortable with betting a shorter outright price there. So I bet Xander got him plus 650. I know that number's still out there right now. I think that's a good play. And if you want to bet Scottie Scheffler this week, I cannot argue with it at all. You're betting on the best golfer in the world at very, very close to odds that we've seen in full field events, and there's only 50 guys in this field. Now, of course, these are 50 of the better players in the world. Yes, I understand that would be part of the rebuttal, but like, it's still not a full field PGA Tour event where we've seen Scottie Scheffler's odds that this is at this exact same number all season long. So I think there's value at the top of the board, Scheffler or Schauffele starting right there. I decided to go Schauffele. Wouldn't hate anybody went to Xander or went to Scottie. I think I've been saying it for weeks. Morikawa, I'm probably just riding with to the end here. I thought I was going to be backed off after a terrible, terrible performance with the irons last week. To see him play that bad on approach was pretty stunning last week. But betting numbers, and when I see Circa hanging over 18-1, I'd call it Morikawa. Yeah, I'm back in. That's fine. It's probably the last tournament. They're betting too heavy anyway, so I will be backing Morikawa. No, he did not rate out as highly for me this week. I know, like you said, Matt, if you're looking at anything long-term, he's still going to be kind of right in that top five range, but not nearly as much short range after that bad tournament last week. But going to ride Morikawa. And the only other outright I did play Tony Finau, too. I'm right there with you, Wes. I think that's – all of these numbers are important to me. I think Finau in the 20s, I'm not as attracted to. You get him in the 30s, and there are some 30s out there, that's pretty attractive to me. We've talked about his open before, but he was – he impressed me last week where he, you know, kind of being in the mix there on the weekend. T12 of the 3M, T5 of the Travelers, T3 of the U.S. Open. I think his season's turned around a little bit. So I'm with you on that one. Just those three outright plays for me, a short shot, little mid-range shot, and then a longer shot for you.
Yeah. So it's not him. So there we go. We at least have that. It's I won't be going after both of y'all's guy here. In
who are you going after? Billy Horschel? That was my turn last week. You going after Billy Ho this week? I got killed by Billy Ho last week.
Yeah. I'm taking on, I'm taking on Billy with Sungjae.
Sungjae's been a good form.
Sungjae really high up in my model, but I just can't bet him out. Right. I just don't know about the win equity with Sungjae in a field like this and all, you know, so for me, I'll just take the head to head against Horschel. He's actually the dog in that one. So you're getting a bit even money. So I did take Sungjae against Billy Horschel. Like I said, Scottie Xander, top 10 parlay and top five parlay, -125 +229 on that one. Go ahead and throw this out there now. Hey Kelly, I'll give both of y'all a guess. Who do y'all think was dead last in my model?
Oh man, I have not looked at all. I don't even know. Is Max Homa still around? He got sent packing, right?
What a guess. Dead last, Max Homa.
Dead last? Yeah. I don't even know if he was in the field or not. I swear to God.
He was last in the tournament last week, but he is in the points still, the top 50. Even Rory was able to beat somebody last week.
What a guess, Kelly. But yes, Max Homa, dead last in my model this week.
Oh, Max. Come on, buddy.
I came in and I'm like, I'm just going to bet every head-to-head I can find against him. Well, guess what? The books gave me the middle finger and like, you can't take him on. They're not going to let you take him on. The only posted one even out there in the market is like the one that you would throw up if you had it's him versus Tom Hoagie. And like, while you still probably want to bet Hoagie,
trust his irons,
but it's like, it's just like, you're like, that's the only one in the market out there right now. So again, if they end up posting, if anybody gives me anything to go up against Max Homa, I'm going to do it. Max Homa has lost off the tee in 10 straight tournaments.
Yeah.
10 straight tournaments. He has lost putting 6 of the last 7. He has lost ball striking 6 of the last 7. He has lost approach 5 of the last 7. He is in the worst form of any golfer, maybe inside the top 50, like heading into this tournament, whatever. So just throwing that out there, guys, I'm going to be going against Homa if anybody will give me the opportunity. I'm coming after him, but nobody's giving me the opportunity right now.
I just wish I said it with more confidence. I couldn't even remember if he made it in the field. You're right, Wes. I was catching that leaderboard breakdown at the end of it last week. I was like, I know he was like dead at the bottom, but I don't remember if he slid in or not. Homa's been bad. I do think there's like Homa. The only one that was really frustrating for me was to see this. And like, we don't wish injury on anybody, right? I don't wish injury on anybody. But like, I feel like I was targeting Jordan Spieth all summer, and that was just mixed results all summer. And like, there were so many tournaments where you'd watch him and be like, he ain't right. Like, this is so obvious. He ain't right. And then there were other tournaments where you'd be like, okay, well, he kind of looks okay this week, and I'm confused because I keep betting against him. It's probably all a wash. I'll have to run the numbers at the end of the season. Watching him having like wrist surgery and he's getting it ASAP, you're like, it's just annoying when you know you're actually right about something like that. You've been betting it that way, but then the matchups, because guess what? We don't get to build our own matchup. So like Matt's kind of complaining about right now, you got slim pickings when you're trying to pick on somebody.
Yeah, the only he is one of two guys that is red all the way across the model. The other guy, JT Poston. Those are the only two guys that are red all the way across the model.
Remember
so,
how amazing the start of his season was?
Even in putting for JT Poston, because that was like the only thing I saw that like, okay, that's kind of a net positive right now, but.
Yeah, so that's the only two guys that are negative across, that literally red across the entire model, both of those guys. And by the way, they didn't do you any favors trying to attack Poston either. I was trying to go after that, and they're like giving you Chris Kirk and Matthew Pavone and stuff like that. It's like, you ain't loving those guys going up against them either.
My last 12 round, it is those. Oh, man. This is... It is Poston Homa in I got a Homa Poston. I got a Homa Poston in last 36.
Okay. All right, there you go.
He jumped him last 36. But yeah, those are the two names at the very bottom of every single one of my models that I ran into.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right. Oh no, so,
Pavone beats Poston in one. Is that what you said? You have Pavone third to last?
Yeah.
So, yeah, those three right at the bottom line.
All right. So I have one more head to head. I have Tommy Fleetwood over Patrick. Oh, I am going after both two of Wes's house. Shit, I didn't even know. Sorry about that. I have Fleetwood over Cantlay in a head to head. That's also even money. He's the dog there in that one. Again, just going off of my numbers and the models that I ran, there's a big gap between the two. And so for me, playing the head to head there and that one, just two outrights for me. On this card, I reserve the right to add one more if I feel like I'm going to pull the trigger on one of these guys that I really just don't want to pull the trigger on. I'll tell you who those two are after this, but let's go with a longer shot guy here. Davis Thompson. Thompson is seventh overall in my model. You can find him out there about 60-ish to one, a little bit better here in Vegas, but widespread out there, 60-ish to one. Also running a top 10 on him. You can find that at about plus 360 out there in the market. But you go across and like Davis Thompson, again, I did factor in some recent stuff, right? So there is some recency bias that's built into the model, but also the long-term stuff has it to where he still comes out to seventh in this model. The only thing you're really looking at, you're kind of frowning on when it comes to him, you look at that approach and his approach in the recent stuff, not all that great. The longer term approach numbers are better for Davis Thompson, but all the other stuff just checks out off the tee, obviously par five scoring, the driving, good, you know, good drives, the total driving, all that stuff all checks out. So maybe he can find the irons for me. But that number is how high he ranked in the model. I had to play him. So that, and again, backing it up with just a top 10 on him. And then Tommy Fleetwood is the only other outright that I have. Tommy Fleetwood is fifth overall in my model. I know the win equity on Tommy Fleetwood is garbage, but I can't play any of these other guys. The numbers attached to them, given where all this other, I just can't do it. So Fleetwood is the only one where the number attached to him in the model just doesn't add up. I think all these other guys are just appropriately priced, right? And so like for me, Fleetwood, you can find him mid-20s, maybe high-20s if you get lucky out there. If you look at Fleetwood, everything just checks out other than the fact the guy can't, other than the winning, right? You know, it's like, I mean, like you look at it, everything's green. He's high up there. Like, he's good at everything except winning, like, whatever. So that being said, it's just the only thing where there was an outlier. I don't expect to cash that one, which is why I did back it up with a top five with him where Ty's playing full. You can still find about 4-1. Out there on him for a top five. Again, Ty's paying full. So even if he doesn't get home for you, you're still getting 4-1 on the top five. And that's certainly going to cover your anything that you bet and give you a profit on him if he doesn't get home for you outright. But that's the whole card for me this week. Scotty Xander, top 10, top five parlays. Fleetwood, outright top five. Davis Thompson, outright top 10. Fleetwood over Cantlay, and then Sungjae over Horschel. The only thing in there, I said I reserve the right to two guys I don't want to bet, but the model is screaming at me about Akshay Bhatia, which I don't know why it's screaming
at me.
I had him up there as well. It's screaming at me. I'm ignoring it for now, but maybe I give in to the model. I don't know. Maybe I give in to the model, but it's screaming at me like going, what the hell are you doing with all of that? And then I have to decide if I feel like Max Grazerman is broken or not.
Yeah.
After that, after blowing that lead and whatever, because he is inside the top 10 in this model for me. And
I've much ignored him in my
life. I feel like he's broken. And like a rookie on tour that blows a win like that and everything and all the stuff that came with it, Wes, you and I talked about it. You know, I mean, all the stuff that comes along with a win, I just don't know if he's broken. And like, but my model says, hey, bro, you should be betting him in some fashion, you know, whatever. Be it placement market, be it head-to-head, be it whatever. But my gut tells me his brain is fried right now. So I don't know. I will make that decision sometime between now and when they tee off on Thursday. And again, all of that will be listed over at VSiN.com. Wes, who's kind of the first person? Was Bhatia kind of the first one off your card?
It actually was Akshay that I was looking at. And look, you know, for Fleetwood, this is a guy I bet frequently and don't get rewarded. We all have those players that don't quite get there for us. But look, certainly fits here. He's getting bet, I think, in a lot of his matchups. That's something I kind of like to look at sometimes as a tiebreaker if I'm down between, okay, who's the last one I want to use on an outright for a card. I will look a little bit at the matchup markets this week.
Kelly, first one off your card.
Man, I'll be honest. I'm not sure there was anybody I really was having serious considerations of adding another outright on.
Well, that's fair.
Having said that, Tommy Fleetwood did rate out very highly for me. And you might have just talked me into a top 10 bet or something on him this week. I only 50 guys in the field. You can play a top 10 at plus 140, I think I'm looking at. Yeah, plus 150 over at DraftKings.
Yeah.
That's including ties over there. So, like, I'm looking at, I mean, my last 12-round model, he rated out third. I mean, it is Scheffler, Shoffley, and then Fleetwood. So, I completely understand that one, and I would say he's probably the guy that rated out the highest that I should probably be doing something with other than Max Grazerman. I don't even know if he's broken. It's still just like at a certain point we still have to like recognize these as just like professional athletes, and like you are going up against you are in the second round of the playoffs against some of the best guys in the world, and I don't know if I trust you, Max.
Yeah,
sorry.
That is true. That is fair. There's all of that stuff.
He's not broken for his career. I hope he can get it back on track here.
We're in the final. I don't know if any of y'all played the big Pat Mayo contest over the big one and done, but this is the final week of that thing.
I did, but I haven't submitted anything in a long time.
You just decided to hell with it.
So
are you worried?
I'm in the money.
Ander cursed Kelly, or
I am.
Davis Thompson was the only one I hit all year.
Man. So I am in the money currently as we are at the last tournament, and I have to pick. Unfortunately, I have burned through a lot of the guys that I really, really like. So it's going to be interesting this week for me as to how I go about it. I don't have a lot of options, so I got to be contrarian this week I'm forced to be contrarian, basically.
Who you got available? Come on, let's just do this on the pod. Come on, man.
I got Wyndham, but okay. I think he'll be popular because like about half the field still has him.
Yeah.
So,
I think game theory, I'd avoid him.
Yep. I have Hovland, but weirdly enough, 42% of people still have Hovland.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like, do you think last week was enough for people to convince? I don't think he's going to be bad.
That's what I'm wondering, because, you know, it was kind of like after the PGA, it's like Victor's back. And I've seen a lot of that this week. And then we saw what happened after the PGA. Yeah. He wasn't that great at the Memorial, which is a great course for him where he's won before, and then missed the cut badly at the U.S. Open. So,
yeah, I mean, I have some of the guys you would think that we were saying kind of the periphery dudes. So, I mean, I could, you know, I have Akshay. I could go that route, which I would be probably one of very few on him. You
had Davis Thompson?
with that. I have Davis Thompson. So, I mean, you know, there's no, I do not. I used him at the Rocket Mortgage. So I do not. I do not have Davis Thompson. Actually,
good place to use him.
Yeah. So
it's pretty good, right?
You know what? I have Sungjae. I have Sungjae and only 20, and I have Sungjae and only 22% of people have Sungjae.
I think you found it.
I think I probably found it because if only so, I mean, only a fifth of the field could use him anyway, and a fifth of the field won't use him. So I think that's a pretty good.
Man, Sungjae's become very frustrating. I am with you on that one though. It is. I feel like I've bet him here these past few weeks, and it's just I don't know.
It's one of those things. Dude, you like look at the leaderboard of this tournament and stuff, and you just wonder if these dudes like bet like the stuff
they'd be rich as hell.
Like the leaderboard of this thing, like the guy has
how many winners?
The guy has 5 outrights, 10 top fives, 18 top 20s.
That's absurd. Yeah,
like you know that he's 10 picked.
Top fives. That's incredible.
Yeah, and so it's just like he would be. Yeah, he'd be rolling in it had he actually bet all of these, but you know, we don't know if he actually bet all of these or not. So we'll see.
How many winners do you have in that one?
I have 3.
You're in the money. Yeah, I was gonna say you had to hit more than one or two.
Yeah, 3 wins, 7 top fives, and 14 top 20s is where I'm at.
Well, but, let's go, Matt Brown.
But yeah, we gotta let's go Sungjae, right? Actually,
let's go Sungjae. Yeah, good point. I guess you can't do anything about it.
Sungjae Binks right here, then yeah, we're feeling pretty good. So maybe we'll get that done. So guys, as we mentioned, second to last pod here. We do appreciate you guys being with us all season long. It's been a absolute blast. Hopefully you made some money there along the way. We'll keep some stuff going in the off season for sure, but definitely gets busy from an NFL standpoint and college football and all of that. So tons of duties that are around. So we'll touch base with you for sure. And if you haven't done so already, get ahead and hit that subscribe button, because that way, when we do come back, you will be just instantly fed all of us talking into these microphones about all of the golf stuff that we have going on this year. Go get Wes's article over at VSiN.com. And of course, all of our picks will be posted on VSiN.com/picks. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your BMW picks.